Time for us to get on board the telephone line and welcome in Michael Hurley of WBZ in Boston. Hello there, Michael.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. I lost my voice early in the week, but it's slowly coming back. I'm at that 85-year-old man stage as opposed to the 99, 100-year-old I sounded like a couple days ago.
You must be living in my house. Both of my children are getting over croup, so the raspy voice, I didn't even notice because you sound great compared to my kids.
Yeah, you don't want to be. It's a good thing I do the show in the afternoon.
In the morning, it sounded kind of like this. I'm like, oh, my God, what is wrong with my voice? I don't know.
You could start a new, like, horror book narration
right.
if you wanted.
You got to branch out, take advantage of whatever you can do there. Well, my gosh, I'm sorry about the croup, by the way. That's not fun.
Well, we're through it, I think. Knock on wood.
All right, I hope so. I hope so, because you don't need croup when you're trying to figure out who the Patriots are going to draft next.
No, we don't. I think, you know, if we're going to jump right into who they're going to draft next, I just hope they trade up. Last night was, you know, it's really all about me, and so having to wait an extra half hour with the Celtics playing, it's just a lot for one man to go through. So I think tonight we'd like to attack it early, you know, and just, you know, get on the board quick, trade some of those fourth round picks, and, you know, make for a much easier Saturday for everybody covering the draft. So I do actually think they're gonna move up tonight and get someone. Who that is, I don't know.
Well, yeah, the quick analysis is always hard to figure out in these things because you never really know for sure. But by all accounts, by dropping down and then grabbing Christian Gonzalez, it sure looks like a steal for the Patriots, who also got a guy at a position they need.
Absolutely. And like you said, we don't know that he's going to be a great player or even a very good player, but I think there's enough reason to believe it was the right pick and a good pick. For a team that, I think it's the best of both worlds situation where, A, Bill Belichick loves nothing more than a trade down, get some more picks, and fans love nothing more than to actually take a guy, you know, before when you can still recognize people from draft, mock drafts and whatnot. So I think it was kind of a win-win for everybody, and it fills a need, too. It's not like they added to somewhere with the best player available at a position they're already strong. They needed a guy like that. I always think of, you know, last year when the Bills came here, and Jonathan Jones, who I think did a good job on the outside last year, but when Stephon Diggs comes to town, it's just a different league. And when you're in Minnesota going against Justin Jefferson, now I don't know, I'm not going to sit here and say Christian Gonzalez is going to shut those guys down, but I think he's going to give you a little bit more of a chance to slow down offense's top guys, and then you can work from there.
All right, what should be next on the Patriots' list of priorities?
To me, it's offensive tackle. They clearly didn't want Broderick Jones because they traded out of that pick. Mm. Pittsburgh take him in front of the Jets. So there must have been something where, you know, once, whatever, Paris Campbell or even Tuscarawas, I don't know how high they liked the guys, but it was clear at 14 the guy they wanted wasn't there. But I wouldn't be surprised if they go with that in the second round just because it is a premium position. I think back to when they took Sebastian Vollmer. It was considered a stretch. He was thinking he was expected to be, you know, a later round guy. And he ended up being a reliable starting tackle for the better part of a decade. So I'm thinking they're going to target someone that, you know, wasn't in that top four or five tackles that is going to be available tonight. Now, I'd rather, for excitement's sake, you know, if we were putting together sizzle reels like a wide receiver, that would be fun. But I think tackle's the number one priority.
What will be this year's Lenoir Ryan, the obscure college that nobody knows anything about that Coach Bill finds someone from?
You know, I remember that night vividly, and I thought I was being pranked. And I was like, there's no – and then it came on the TV, and I said, no, I'm still being pranked. And to this day, I'm not sure Lenoir Ryan exists. I think it's a long con by somebody. So I don't know. I would say – we've all heard of Chattanooga, but last year to hear that in the first round was a shock. So we've got to be on our toes. I think back another great memory when they drafted Joe Cardona. You know, when you run a website, you got to write a story. You usually run stats. You usually get photos. Don't really exist for a long snapper from Navy. So he likes to give us a lot of, I would say, hoops to jump through, which I appreciate. You know, it's good to keep things fresh. So I have no idea where the next Lenoir Ryan will be.
Does he get input from anybody else that he actually takes into consideration?
You mean within the organization?
Yeah.
I think so. Now, it's hard to say that Matt Groh is, like, in charge, but I don't know. The way Bill refers to him, it seems like there are elements. Now, I'm just kind of reading tea leaves here. It seems like there are elements of the scouting process that Bill has deferred to the front office in ways that perhaps he hasn't in the past. And I think that's maybe natural where you're, you know, in your 70s and maybe aren't, you just run out of hours in the day maybe to do everything. So I think there are elements that he has deferred to the scouts and the analysis as analysts in the building. So I don't know what that means exactly when it comes time to pull the trigger, but I do think there are some more voices than maybe there were 10 years ago.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Now, are the coach and the quarterback on speaking terms? How is that shaping up?
You know, it was funny here in Boston. Wednesday, radio day, was officially like Mac Jones is definitely getting traded tomorrow day. He did not get traded on Thursday night. So it's going to be something that they're going to have to address at some point because, you know, when the quarterback name is not uttered by the coach for a long time, there's clearly something's a little bit off. The way that Bill has been unwilling to just really stand up for the quarterback and say he's our starter, to say, you know, everyone will have a ability to compete for jobs and say Mac's shown an ability to play in this league. It hasn't been good. And Bill's kind of invited that himself. You know, I think back to the Zappe game last year. That was so unlike Bill to welcome in, you know, quarterback controversy, and it led to that awful scene, I think, in the Bears game. So if I were running the team, I would work on either getting fully behind Mac or making another decision, because to have this sort of wishy-washy support, I don't think it helps anybody.
Now, if he stays around, does it help that Matt Patricia is no longer around?
I think so. I'm not sure if you caught the news last week, but Matt Patricia got a job coaching defense, not offense. So that's
wow, what a concept.
Yeah, 31 NFL teams said, you know what? I think he's a defensive coach. So, I mean, that is a decision that really haunted a whole season and wasted a whole season. And I know people want to move on and stuff, but it's kind of hard when, you know, these guys have a finite amount of time in the league, and you're just kicking away a year with that. It's just that will never make sense to me, but it absolutely will. I think the way I put it is Bill O'Brien could show up to work late every day. He could leave early every day. He could barely put any investment and time in, and he would still be a massive upgrade over last year. So in terms of coaches that have pressure on them, I think Bill O'Brien is almost the last coach in the league, because he could show up and do a D-plus job and be a million times better than the last guy.
Boston Bruins, game 6 tonight down in Florida. I thought they actually played pretty well in game 5 and kind of a bad break there in the overtime. Do they finish off the Panthers tonight?
It's hard to say for a couple of reasons. One being that, you know, when they took the ice the other night, I said, just get pucks on Sergei Bobrovsky. He'll give you some goals. But he stood in there and made 40-plus saves. He had a good night. And so that's a factor. If Alex Lyon was still in there, I would say, you know, get ready for the next round. It's tough, and it's really just the nature of the playoffs. You know, they did play pretty well the other night, but of those shots, how many were great opportunities? I'm not sure how many. And then the mistakes, the giving two goals away, you could say, all right, well, clean that up, and you win the game. But now you invite this element of risk, and it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's a rubber puck, and it's a sheet of ice, and it's 10 enormous men skating 25 miles an hour, and crazy stuff happens. So they have to go out there and be sharp. I thought the Panthers were a little bit sharper the other night. I think they sort of dotted their I's and crossed their T's better than the Bruins did. So I think the Bruins have to be that team tonight, and they should be. We've seen them all year sort of respond in these moments. So I do like their chances, but Stanley Cup playoffs, I don't like anybody's chances that much any night.
You think we'll see Krejci tonight?
I don't. It's weird, but I don't. I think they could use him. I think he's so valuable. He's a little bit, you know, underappreciated here for whatever reason. I still think when it comes to offensive wizardry, he's in a class by himself. So I don't know. It seems like he might need a little more time with him in the non-contact jersey today, but I don't know. I think it's all hands on deck. So if he's available, he'll be playing, I think.
Now, do you think Allmark has got some fatigue at all?
I do. And I was thinking about, like, there aren't many teams where I'd say you should platoon. But I look at this team and how they got there, the best record of all time, the most wins, most points, all that. You did it with a platoon. And that, there was a reason for that. It's because Allmark has never been sort of the horse that you ride 60 games in a year, and then, you know, 20 something odd playoff games after that. He's used to a certain cadence of work, and it's been disrupted. And the fact that you have that, and you have two guys in Swayman and Allmark who seemingly are best friends and like genuinely pull for each other, I saw no harm if they went to Swayman once or twice in the series. Now, I don't know if you do it after that gaffe the other night, maybe it invites, you know, a different level or element of tension. I'm not really sure, but I think it's going to be a long run if you run one goalie when that's not how you got here. So it's not great. That being said, outside of the stick handling, the puck handling gaffe, I don't think Allmark was bad the other night, but he was a little skittish and was a little, over eager, I think, at times. So I don't know. I would have gone to Swayman at some point, and now it might be too late in this series.
Celtics took care of business last night. It was, I wasn't sure it was going to happen. Was it 2.5 minutes left before they finally took the lead for good? But overall played a pretty strong game last night, and the better team won, although not by much.
It wasn't that kind of annoying, just the whole night.
Yes.
It was this back and forth when it didn't need to be, and then with 4 minutes left, Celtics just said, okay, here's a little 11-0 run, and we're better. I don't know. I guess there's a human nature element, and we saw that with the Heat and the Bucks, it could be much, much worse for the higher-seeded team in a playoff series. So I don't know. I guess the Hawks were feistier than we all gave them credit for, because when they won that game without DeJounte Murray, I still can't believe it. So I guess there is credit that needs to be shared and spread with them that maybe in time I'll give. But we'll see how it translates into the Philly series. It's really all about Embiid's health. If he's a full go, then it's going to be a challenging series that the Celtics should win. And if he's not a full go, then it should be a Celtics sweep. So that's where I'm at with that one.
Michael Hurley, WBZ Boston with us. Michael, thank you so much. As always, hope the youngsters are feeling fine, back at 100% soon, and you're able to see the Patriots trade up, make their pick, and get out of there early tonight.
Yes, that's the dream, isn't it? The American dream.
That's what we're wishing for you. Enjoy the weekend, Michael.
All right, you too. Have a good one.